Today, we'll choose an EV for a couple looking to complement their Tesla Model Y, a viewer wanting a third EV on the whimsical side, and a viewer worried about depreciation who does not want a Tesla. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a series from the Battery is Included podcast. This is episode number 24. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by Mr. Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, along with Dave Connor from the Out of Spec Dave YouTube channel. If you're looking for your own battery bargain, email us a couple short paragraphs with your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a little bit for length and clarity. You guys ready to go car shopping?
Absolutely.
Dave's coming, going car shopping with us from his car.
Yeah, that, you know, it's just another day in my life. Let's go. Let's spend somebody else's money.
All right. What car are you in, I should ask?
I'm in the Mighty Volt.
Yes.
Chevy, yeah. I see that you let the Cadillac ELR go the other day.
Yes. Really cool new guy, owner. Yeah, the ELR. Well, one of them had to go. And right. That's a whole nother video.
But yeah, no, it is. And it's a video up on the Out of Spec Dave channel right now that people can go and watch if they're interested.
It is. Yeah.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Brad. He writes, "Hi, we are Brad and Lisa, retired and living in Florida. We currently own a 2023 Tesla Model Y. We love our Model Y and are now looking to get a second EV. We have a 2012 Nissan Murano with 185,000 miles that we will trade in. What I want to accomplish is to buy a less expensive EV, $30,000 or less for our second car. I was interested in purchasing a new Chevy Bolt EUV, as I think the Bolt EUV would be a great daily driver and a second EV, but my wife feels it's too small and prefers an EV similar in size of the Model Y. I'd prefer an EV with a minimum of 250 miles of range. I'd consider a used EV, but I am concerned about the battery health and how it was charged and operated. Can you suggest any new EVs that could meet my criteria? I'm willing to wait for a new, less expensive EV to be rolled out, but concerned it could be delayed, for example, the Chevy Equinox EV. Also, as I mentioned, I would consider a used EV, and what's your thoughts if I should be concerned about the health of the battery in a used EV or not? Thank you, Brad." All right. Dave, as our special guest today, why don't we kick this off with you?
Boy, yeah, I'll tell you, I wish he gave me just maybe a little more money than that. And the name that comes to mind, especially if he was going to be buying you, would be the Volvo EX30. I don't know what you guys think about that. But, you know, if Volvo is able to deliver that vehicle later this year at the price points they said they were going to, I think that that would be a little bit bigger than the Bolt EUV, which I actually think is a pretty darn good car. And I've actually owned a Bolt EV, but never an EUV, but I did recently rent one and I really liked it a lot. It's seemingly more spacious inside than it looks from the outside. But knowing that you also gave us the green light to perhaps buy pre-owned, I think that opens up the number of options quite a bit. But sticking on the new, I would throw out, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about this, but the Kona EV, the Niro EV, and on the new side, and I don't know if you're into leases, but there's been some crazy leases out there recently.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there was this secret lease deal on an Ioniq 6 that was just, like, I was thinking about getting in. I don't even need it, but, you know, like under $279 a month. But you know, when you start getting into the used or the pre-owned, the ID4 potentially, like, I think that if you're a smart shopper today, there are a lot of really good bargains out there. People that have bought these cars and for whatever reason, they just don't work for their needs and they're just dumping them. And there's a lot out there, but the ID4 I think is quite a bit bigger than the Bolt DUV, and you might want to think about that. What do you guys think?
Hey, Martin, what do you think?
Yeah, so these lease deals that Dave's mentioned seem to come and go, so be quick if you see them, but they are just stellar pricing. You know, I don't know if you want to buy your vehicle or lease it. Now, there wasn't a lot in your email. I mean, it was a long email, but I just kind of wish it was packed with a little bit more information. You know, like you want 250 miles, but why? You know, is it because you do regular road trips? If you're doing regular road trips week in, week out, then I would really look at a Kona or an eNiro. Now, they are a good size, and they'll get you really decent mileage on the 64 kilowatt hour battery. And I had a Kona for a year, had no battery concerns, worries at all, had my OBD dongle plugged into it, state of health never changed for the year that I owned it. So no problems there. 12 volts can be a bit tricky on the Hyundais and the Kias. Not going to lie about that. But I just wish there was a little bit more information on this. You know, do you want comfort? Do you want high tech? You own a Model Y already. Do you want more high tech? In which case, do you want two Teslas in your life? Because there's also some crazy Tesla deals, admittedly over your budget. It's about 35 grand for a new Model Y at the moment, if you do have the federal tax credit that you can take off. I'm not sure about Florida state incentives on EVs. That's a blind spot for me. None. Okay, right. So that's 5 grand over your target. But either way, a little bit more information would have been good for you on this, Brad, really helpful. I would definitely echo Dave's point. Try the Hyundai, try the Kia, try the Kona, try the eNiro, try the ID4, because you have to look a little bit harder to get the spec you want for 30 and look used on the ID4, but tax credit now that it's made in Chattanooga. So consider those vehicles. What else? There's nothing else obvious around that 30 grand price point.
I mean, can you get a Polestar 2 for 30 grand used?
A used one? Used, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that'd be good, actually.
That would be. So let me address one thing. You mentioned that you're concerned about the battery health, I think.
Right.
I'll tell you what. The batteries themselves, I think, are not something to be concerned with. As long as you're buying a 1, 2, 3-year-old car. Because the warranties on these batteries tend to be a lot longer than the actual bumper-to-bumper warranty you'll get on the car itself. So, for example, you might get 4 years, 50,000 miles on the car, but you might get 8 years, 100,000 miles on the battery. And so I probably would not worry so much about, you know, how someone took care of it. Did they constantly DC fast charge it? Did they constantly bring it up to, you know, to 100% if it's not a battery that's able to go up, like, you know, some of the Teslas, the LFP packs and all of that and some of the others. But I think that 30 grand is a healthy number. I like Martin also owned a couple of Konas, and those things, they go, especially around town. Now, I don't know how much you can really believe the gasometer in that car, but there were many days, Martin, when I would wake up and I would show 310 miles of range on that Kona.
Me too. Me too.
I mean, you know, and if you drove it gently, it was fine. You can still take it on a road trip, but it only charges at 77 kilowatts. So it's not like you can't do that. But for an around town car, it's got plenty of mileage. Some of the others that I did think about when I read your email was like the Mini EV, but it's only got 100 miles of range. So you're looking for 250.
Yeah.
You know, and Martin also brought up a good point. The question is, why do you want that much range if you're going to be charging it every day at home? Like, in other words, you got your Y, you can take that on the long road trips, and then you just have a daily driver. So, I mean, what do you think, Dom?
That's a fair point, actually, about that. But I do like your suggestion about the Volkswagen ID4, because it's one that we don't mention that much. And so I took a quick look, and I found this one. I don't know what's going on here. This might be with the $7,500 tax credit already figured into the price, but it's like at $30,535, which is for this 2024 model, which is,
that's factored in already, yeah.
Right, the 2024 is like the ID4 to get, really, if you can. The 2023 isn't bad, but the 2024 has got new motors, and so it's more efficient, got a bit more range, better software. But the 2023 is fine too, and you can find those used well within your budget.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, that's a very cheap car, so I would double check it's got the big screen, the new software. And in fact, isn't it that the base model doesn't get the new software? So
right, you have to
double check that because you want the big screen, the new software.
Yes, if you're going to get a 2024, you want that.
I was going to throw out a couple of names here that'll probably be super controversial, but but you know, I'm always an opportunist. Fisker Ocean pre-owned. There's a lot.
Come on, Dave. What are you doing?
I'm serious because like there's a lot of noise right now in the marketplace on that vehicle, that company. I happen to think it's a pretty good looking car. I don't know what's going to happen to the company, but there may be some people that are just like, I'm dumping this thing right now. And, you know, let me get out of it. And boy, I'll tell you what, if you're a little bit of a risk taker, you might be able to pick one up for a song. I'm just saying. I don't know.
You know, I think, Dave, that you might consider a Fisker Ocean for yourself, actually. You know, I can see you in an Ocean.
You know,
that'd be great content.
The other car I was going to suggest, and again, if you don't think that's controversial enough, the VinFast.
I knew that's where you're going. I knew you were
Dave,
going there.
What's going on? Have you been down the pub at lunchtime today? What's happening here? Dave's a bit frisky today.
No, I'm just saying, gosh. Like, again, used market, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with either of these, but if you are a risk taker, and by the way, if you get either one of those, I definitely want to have you on the channel and interview to talk to you. But no, all kidding aside, I don't think you can make a mistake with the Kona EV, the good. Niro EV, find if you could find an Ioniq 5, like a rear wheel drive for 30 grand, I don't know if there are any out there. You know, if you get into that EV6 Ioniq 5, look for some like bottom feed and use the entire country as your marketplace. Do not limit yourself to only your local area. Use these sites. And realize that any car is only $1,100 at max away from wherever you live in the country. Mm. And so be careful when you're shopping for those. I looked at all the other names, and there really wasn't anything out there that I would recommend. So
the gentleman was asking about battery health as well. So there is a site called Recurrent Auto. And you can check a used EV before you buy, so you can get a report by VIN. And so you just put your VIN number in there, and I believe you get here's a VIN, we couldn't find one for that car. I'm not sure what car that could be. My car, I'm not really positive, but so anyway, that's the site you might be able to check out. I think they do have a lot of information about battery and battery health, but generally it's not really something I would worry about too much, really, especially if it's a newer car, besides Nissan Leaf, because those aren't liquid cooled, but you know, other vehicles, you know, the battery temperature is managed quite well, and those batteries should hold up pretty decently.
One small idea that I just want to throw out there is that some of these cars will accept OBD2 adapters that you can plug into the VPeak one is one that Kyle and I use, and we use the Car Scanner app as well. And what's really interesting is that on certain screens, what you're able to do is you're able to look at every single cell, and before you buy a car, this is just an idea, you can look at what the voltage is on every single cell at a low state of charge, and then charge it up to 100% and look at what the voltage is at a high state of charge in that particular vehicle that you're thinking about buying. Now, that would require a little bit of time with the vehicle before you actually buy it. Right. And maybe a dealership would or wouldn't let you keep it for that long time, that period of time. But I did that with the ELR and the Volt. And these batteries, you know, my Volt has 144,000 miles on it. Now, granted, 66% of the battery life was driven on electric, so it's really not quite that high. but, you know, you could really look at the voltage on each one of the cells. That's something to think about. But if it's a new enough car, don't worry too much about it because you got the warranty backstopping you.
Okay. So our next case comes to us from Matthew, who sent us an email and says, "Hello, we are currently an all-EV household with a 2023 Tesla Model Y long-range 7-seater and a 2022 Ford Mustang Mach-E Premium all-wheel drive extended range. After listening to all of Kyle's adventures of purchasing EVs, I've been bitten by the bug to purchase a cheap, and maybe even weird, third EV. So the budget for the third EV would be $10,000 to $15,000. I am not concerned with range or charging performance, just something fun, interesting, rare, and weird. Cars I have considered include the Fiat 500e, BMW i3, the Mini SE, Mazda MX-30, this is some interesting choices here, VW e-Golf, Toyota RAV4 electric. Wow, what I am not thinking of. What odd EVs might you suggest? Thanks, Matthew." All right, Martin, what do you have in the way of, what do you know about strange, weird EVs over here in America land?
No, well, I don't know if those on your list are that weird. Now, the Fiat 500e was a compliance car, and it looks right. The same as the new 500e, which is a pure EV from the ground up, and it's not the same beast. But it's fun. The i3, not weird, Mini. Mazda is stylish, and the range is 100 miles. I think they just got into three figures on that, and it's interesting, but yeah. The Golf, not particularly weird, I have to say. That's a cracking EV, and the RAV4 is a little off the beaten track, you know, I must admit. Hey, what are the rules on bringing stuff into the country for you? Are you allowed to import vehicles?
They have to be 25 years old.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah. No, I'm not. That's the rule. I was just looking at that yesterday, yeah.
Or today. Oh, man. Because I'd send something your way. I'd send like a Twizy your way or something. Because I got loads of them. loads of them here.
It's true, right? I mean, Kyle was able to locate one in America. I mean, they're pretty rare. But if you really looked, that'd be a pretty fun EV. I mean, I drove Kyle's around a little bit, and it was it's kind of a blast. Kind of a hoot.
It wears off quite quickly. But it's better than a golf cart, and it puts a smile on your face when you drive one. So, yeah, what a shame you can't import those vehicles. So you want something that's kind of freaky. I don't think your list is particularly freaky, to be honest. I think you've got some really solid EVs in there. You could go something very old, you know, like absolutely first gen, you know, get like the first Model 3 off the line or something, and have something that you're going to keep in the garage, and it can be a piece of history or something like that, or, you know, a very early i3, those first ones with the tiny batteries which you mentioned. So you could get something that's not very practical but is kind of interesting, kind of a piece of history. And in fact, those i3s are still space age technology, the way they're built. The i3, get an original i3, go back very, very far.
All right, I'm jumping in here, right? I'm all over the i3 for this, right? Because
that's great.
Think about it. The freaking back door is open the wrong way. I mean, that's weird, right? You know, like, and it's made out of carbon fiber. And what makes you feel really good is they probably lost $40,000 on every one they sold. So they put so much technology into that vehicle. And it is such a quirky little vehicle. You can get it with a range extender, which actually makes it somewhat practical. You just have to worry about the engine mounts, and, you know, you have to take a look at that. But it is such it has bicycle tires on it. They're these skinny little tires, and rear-wheel drive. The things flew off the line. You can get the i3, the non-Rex, which are super quick, but they don't have that much range. But I was recently looking at those, and I almost bought one. And there was an Electronaut version out there.
The what?
That was, it's called the Electronaut version.
Okay.
That's the original one,
and
right?
So, you know, Tom Malagni was, quote, one of the first, he was one of the first to have the original BMW. What was that called, Dom? Was it the EV, not the EV1, but no. It was a trial program, and if you could actually purchase one of the first i3s And it was a, I don't know if it's going to be a collector's item, but one recently came up, and it's called the Electronaut version. An Electronaut i3 would be a kind of a quirky little beast to buy, and I think it might be fun for you to buy one of those.
Having a look here at the pricing at cars.com, they are all well within budget. You get nice ones for 10, like nice ones for 10 grand on a 2014 plate as well. So you're going back 10 years, you get something in your driveway that no one else is going to have. And you haven't, honestly, you haven't got to worry about reliability and things like that, because they just seem
good.
Bulletproof. And as Dave said, they were so over-engineered at the time, all the way through to when they finished production last year.
One thing I just want to add is depending on your adjusted gross income, if you're in the States here, if your combined adjusted gross income, assuming you filed, if you're married, filed jointly or what have you, if you're $150,000 or less and you buy a pre-owned car from a dealer, not every dealer, but many of the dealers have the ability to pass on a $4,000 federal tax credit right off the hood on a pre-owned vehicle. And then also, depending on what state you're in, there could be additional incentives. It depends on your income and all of that. But some of the dealers, they may not realize that they even have the ability to pass on that 4K to you if you do qualify. And I believe if they don't do it, you can apply for it. So look at that. And even though you tend to pay a little bit more money at a dealer, you do have that backstop that you can go back to them, you know, maybe if there's something wrong with the vehicle after 3 months. So best of luck to you. That's a fun one. I was going to throw Leaf in there as well. I mean, like, you know, but that's just a kind of boring.
It's kind of pedestrian, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of pedestrian. And, you know, Kyle loves his e-golf, though. I mean, I don't know. He like raves about that thing.
Right.
Here you go. Look, you don't, with the i3 in this bronze black dual color, no one's got a car like this in your neighborhood. Right. It's 10 years old now. 44,000 miles. It costs $7,000. There's a deal to be done there. Maybe used EV tax credit as well. And this thing is gonna look so unique in your neighborhood, and no one's gonna have a vehicle like this. You're gonna stand out, and it fits everything, like Dave says, as it's being quirky and just interesting. The doors open like that. Ah, it's gonna be great.
And you know what's fun is you can tune those things too. You're not
really,
but like. Oh yeah, you can mod them. You can either do it yourself, or there are a few guys that can actually tap into it. And like, for example, this thing has a 2.3 gallon gas tank on the Rex, right?
If it has a range extender, yeah.
That one doesn't. I don't believe that one's a BEV. But if you were to buy one that has a range extender, you can actually unlock the fuel tank that is locked down at 1.9 gallons and open it up to 2.3 gallons. Now, how much more range is that going to give you? Probably not a lot, but how much fun is it to know that you just did that? And then the other thing is it has this, it's got, if you find one with adaptive cruise, and you can always see that it's got an extra button on the steering wheel, that one I don't believe. It's in the left-hand side, the lower right, I believe, is where the adaptive cruise button is. And that was a pretty expensive option. But if you get that, and the car also came with lane keep assist, you can program that thing to do, like, auto steer.
Okay. Amazing.
And up to 100, like, up to, like, 97, whatever it is, the thing's scary. I did it on mine. And so it's just fun. It's quirky. And there's all kinds of people that on the blogs that do mod these, software mod these i3s. There's kind of a little club behind the scenes that's out there.
It's a piece of history that we're looking at. The more that we talk about it, I've completely just got... I want one in my driveway now.
I think I'm going to buy that one for $7,700 bucks. What the hell?
What a great video to make about this. This is the OG high-tech EV. Yeah.
But if you go for the 2016, I think you get a slightly bigger battery with
You don't want
range.
That, though, Dom. You don't want any improvements. You want the worst one you can get. You want the lowest mileage, oldest.
Okay. Good point. So
you'll have a lot less to worry about if you do get just the BEV, not the one with the Rex, because most of the problems that have happened with these cars have been with the range extender. It's a 600cc little motorcycle engine mounted in the back, and it's actually not powering the wheels. It's a generator, very similar to what's in the Volt and the ELR.
Right. So I love this list. Some of them I'd say, wait, well, so it's the Mazda MX-30.
Oh boy!
I kind of like the interior of that car. I like the exterior styling, But they're way overpriced. There's like 10 for sale on CarGurus right now, and they're all like 26,000 or some crazy number. Like, they're, yeah, it's just forget about that. The BMW is a better, it's funkier car on the inside. I think it's probably a better driving car. It's rural drive. I think it's a better, yeah, it's just a better vehicle. Toyota RAV4 electric, I like that idea a lot. But then again, if something goes wrong with it, I'm not sure where you can get it fixed. And it's kind of weird, but not that weird. VW e-Golf, Kyle has one, he loves it. And Fiat 500e, those are great fun, great to drive. They're not super robust, so there's that. I had a Chevy Spark EV, which also kind of fits in this neighborhood, which I love my Spark EV, plenty quick. But I wanted to really lean into the weird thing here and suggest this other one. So this is called the Corbin Sparrow. And they were developed, and they sold in the early 2000s for a few years. And then they were bought by a company, Myers Motors, who made a few small changes. And then then it came back as a Corbin in 2015 or something. They tried to restart the company. I'm not sure where they went with that. But every once in a while, one pops up. And I think they do like 70 miles an hour. It's a one-person car. And you might want to wear a helmet when you're driving. I'm not sure how much your head gets buffeted around in that cab. But it's just I saw one here in town in Tallahassee, Florida, about 22 years ago. And I still remember it because it's a pretty memorable vehicle, you know. Yeah. And it came in a lot of bright colors, yellow and orange. And so I just thought I'd throw that out there if you want a weird car. In America, that's about as weird as they get, really.
What, hey, Dom, what was the vehicle that we saw down when we were down in Florida with Kyle?
Oh, Arcimoto. The Arcimoto.
No, Arcimoto. No, I'm sorry. The one, he bought one for $1. I'm just drawing a blank on the name of this.
The
Coda.
Coda.
Oh, the Coda, right? Okay.
But the Coda could be an interesting one to check out. That's kind of a piece of history right there.
True. Also, but yeah, if something goes wrong with that one too, it could be tricky getting it serviced depending on where you live. But
absolutely, that's the fun part of it, you know. So
sure, sure.
Seriously, all kidding aside, I would just go i3 and have a lot of fun. See, you know what the thing is? We'll end this little segment here. But the fun of this is, for me, is get into it, have fun with it, and flip it. Now, that's my mentality. If you're thinking about buying something and you're like a real keeper, then you're going to have to put a lot of time and energy and, I don't want to make a mistake. But the thing about my strategy is if you make a mistake, as long as you buy it right, you just flip it. And then you get on to the next one and you experience more cars. So
I just remembered there's the Smart ED, which Kyle also has one of those as well. He has all the weird, funky little cars, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, the Smart ED is a great little short range. But I mean, I love a Smart. I always make me smile when I see them down the way. But I think Martin, I think you're looking at something over in Britain that we don't get here yet.
So in 2001, we had the Riva G Wiz, and this was in production for about 10 years. So in 2026, the minute I can ship one to Kyle, and you're 25. Your 25 years thing has happened. I'm going to get one. This is an 07 plate, but they go earlier as well. Right. Less lead acid batteries. Used to see these flying around, particularly London as well, because you can park them like smart cars. Yeah, flying. You can park them straight into the curb. You drive into a space, not parallel park. And the G-Wiz, known by a few different names. But hey, January 1st, 2026, I'm shipping one to Colorado, so Kyle can have one.
I believe those are manufactured in India. I believe Riva is an Indian company.
I think so, yeah. I think it was the Riva AI or Riva I or something. We called it the G Wiz.
It was imported. One of the first ones.
It was I know the guy who imported them, and he did I think good business on these.
Yeah, he did. He did very well for himself. Because there was no other electric cars really around at the time.
That was it.
Right?
That was it.
So it got all the press.
We're almost at 25 years.
Oh, man. It's amazing. All right. We should move on. Our final email comes to us from Lamont. He says, I expect to drive about 300 miles a week, 50 on commute days. Budget is 30 to 40,000. So I'm in between a Hyundai Elantra Hybrid, a Toyota Prius Prime, or an Ioniq 6 as options at different price points. I would prefer weekly charging even if I had a level 2 charger. My other concern is the depreciation of a BEV when it's inevitably time to trade in when solid state / NACS transition begins in a few years. So this is really a stopgap car until BEVs improve in price, range, and infrastructure. Not interested in Tesla because of the owner, the lack of the instrument panel, the news of optimistic ranges and run around when trying to get a vehicle serviced. I appreciate your insights. Lamont. All right. So Dave, he's got some...
Boy. Yeah. All right. So we've got the Tesla handcuff on us here.
Yep.
I was going to say, like, if you qualify for the, and I know, Lamont, you're not going there, so don't get me wrong, but 36 grand after the federal tax credit on a Model Y, man, oh, man. I mean, that's a smoking hot deal. Having said that, I think that the Ioniq 5 EV6 pre-owned, is he able to go pre-owned? I'm wondering.
He doesn't say, but I, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know why he wouldn't.
I mean, you just got to carry a little battery tender with you in case, or when, I should say, the 12-volt goes on you. But it's an easy fix in the driveway, and then you get on with your day. But I would say, look, there's a lot in the $30,000 to $40,000 price range. You know, the Volvo EX30, I'm going to come back to that. I know it's not out yet, but there's – and by the time you're ready to buy it, you may be so back on the list. But I think those things are going to sell. Has something changed where I'm wrong here, or do you guys agree with me that's going to be a hot seller this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Martin, do you have one?
So, yeah, I want to address what you're talking about, which is your fear of buyer's remorse. Oh. And I will give you an example from that from this week, is that I was on an iMac before, and I thought, well, I need to be able to move the computer back into the house and what have you. So I've moved iMac to MacBook Pro, which I'm very happy about. It's a nice purchase. I'm very lucky to have such a lovely piece of equipment. So I got a used MacBook M1 because I don't need the latest greatest. I'm all about value. I like buying used things. This is a $4,000 machine. Let somebody else take the hit. And the minute I bought it, I'm like, maybe I should have bought the M2. It's still a year old. And I'm like, oh my God. It's the same with mobile phones. You know, buyer's remorse is a real thing, but talk some sense to yourself. This is an amazing computer. You'll drive an amazing car. You've got an amazing phone. Whatever, Android, iPhone, whatever you're using, Lamont, it's a great piece of technology. I really want you to not think about depreciation on an EV now, because that correction has happened. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Right. It 2 years ago, people were buying Teslas, driving them for a year, and selling them for more than they were. They paid for.
And that Chevy time, Sparks, too.
Right. And I would have said, you are absolutely right. But I want you to update your knowledge, read some blogs, listen to some podcasts. This is not a bad one that we're on at the minute. And learn about what's happened to EV pricing. It's not even price parity with combustion. It's less, right? EVs, the great supply and demand rebalancing has happened in the last 12 months. Sucks if you owned a car, right? I did. I lost a ton of money on stuff. But it meant I could get a Polestar for 10 grand less than I thought I was going to pay. So, Lamont, don't worry about depreciation. Don't worry about NACS. Don't worry about adapters and things like that. There's plenty of Leafs flying around, and they still charge on CHAdeMO. Not easily. They're much easier here. It's loaded CHAdeMO here. I know it's different for you guys, but honestly, please find the car you want. Don't worry about depreciation. Don't worry about NACS. Adapters are going to sort it. You're not going to be left with a lemon. You really won't.
So, this if he hasn't bought anything yet, this is a deal, a screaming deal. Like until for a few more days, like April 1st, it's over. So no money down. 2 years, $239 a month. Hyundai Ioniq 6, you cannot beat this deal. This is like amazing.
I don't understand this deal.
I don't understand it either. It's too good. It's like
it's
2 years.
It's a rear-wheel drive one, right?
Great.
I'm not sure, but that'd be great. I mean, that means more range.
I had a bunch of folks reach out to me saying they're having trouble finding them. So if you find one,
okay,
you know, it just depends on, I don't know what the mileage constraint
the price
is.
Covers
if it was it 10,000 or 7,500?
I'm not seeing it here right now. It does say that price covers the entry level Ioniq 6 SE. So it's not like the top of the range one, but it's pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean that's an incredibly good deal,
right? I would encourage leasing because there are a bunch of leases happening right now, or that I think it's the first wave of leases actually that are, because sometimes when the market's kind of starting to get a little bit depressed like it is right now, I mean interest rates have been high for a while, so automakers are trying to move a lot of product right now because they got the new model year coming in. So there's another one here I want to share with you, see if that shows up, the Kona 2024 Kona EV lease cut to $169 a month. I think this might have $1,700 due at signing, which is still really great. And it's a great front wheel drive EV, small crossover. It's bigger than the original Hyundai Kona EV. It's slightly bigger, so a little bit more backroom seat that the others were kind of slack on. Wish I had a better picture here in this article, but you can check that out at your local dealer.
Now, of course, he's doing 14,000 miles a year, not exceptional, but not a little. So if you are talking about a finance agreement and it's not your car, just check the excess mileage, because it can be worth paying it. Sometimes that excess mileage fee can be so inconsequential that you go, okay, well, I'm going to be in for another few hundred dollars when I give the car back, because, you know, after 3 years, I'm going to have gone over by maybe 15,000 miles. But it's fine. I'll write them a check and it'll be worth it. If you look at the total cost of ownership. So look at those costs if you are leasing, and look at all those little hidden things that you might end up paying. But I think it's a good shout, actually. Look, the Toyota Prius Prime, it wouldn't be for me, but it is a cracking little car. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Toyota, because I think they're missing a trick at the minute by not going full EV quicker with better cars. But the RAV4 and the Prius Prime are actually very, very competent. And if you like it, I think, but also look at the used. Again, I'm trying to get into his mind here, worried about depreciation. Just go online and look at the used prices of Prius Primes. They're huge, enormous, big demand for them. They hold their value. Last time I looked, I may be wrong. Go and have a look, but it seemed like those cars were holding their value.
Good call out on the mileage thing for the lease. That totally slipped my mind. But so I guess I'll just throw this out here because someone's mentioned it today. The Audi e-tron.
Of course.
It can be had for around that 30 grand. Every a decent, stonking nice car. I mean, and just sell it after 2 years. I'm sure it's already taken a big hit on depreciation.
Big hit.
I don't think it's going to lose a whole lot over the next 2 years. I think it's... I don't think it's going to go crazy down.
I would agree with that. The one thing I do want to say, though, I'm not generally a big fan of leasing because that means long-term commitment, which I'm just not real good at when it comes to cars.
You're kidding. So, never got that vibe from you.
I don't know where I don't know where you got that impression from. But the one thing that I would say, be careful about the fees. There's the lease termination fees but if you know that you're going to be driving 15,000 miles a year, you're better off paying it up front in the form of a lower residual so that you reduce more of the principal component of the lease the payment will go down much more to the principal. But the one thing that you do accomplish that I cannot argue with when you lease is you're buying an option, but you're renting, you're transferring the risk to someone other than you that the value of that vehicle is going to go down a lot more than the actual residual value that is set at the lease today. And so if you mentioned something in your email there which said solid state. Now, solid state is a very interesting, there's a lot of companies that are talking about it, and is there going to be a major disruptor between now and 3 years from now? If you believe there is, then by leasing a vehicle for 36 months, $15K a year, you're going to hedge yourself, and you're not going to assume any risk in terms of what that vehicle may, if you were to buy it versus lease it today. And it sounds like that's a concern of yours, and I think you would mitigate that risk. Whether or not it actually happens, every day you're driving that car, you're going to feel comfortable that you don't own it. Someone else does, and if that thing tanks in value, you're not the one who's going to, you're just going to hand them the keys at the end of the lease and say, what's out there today, that's the technology I'm going to buy. And I think that's a peace of mind buy, perhaps, for you.
All right.
I agree.
So I think we should end on that note. So I guess that brings us to the end of our show. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications, and thank you all again for joining us. It's been great hanging out with y'all, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.